Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome to Indie Streak. My name is Rachel Galvin, and as you know, I interview film industry professionals on this show. If you've missed any of my shows, you can go back and listen to the archives. Well, today I'm interviewing writer-director Rob Margolis, who directed She Wants Me, which is showing here at the Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival, November 8th, 10th, and 11th. He was here in 2008 for Lifelines, which won Best American Indie Film. And I think I have him on the line. Let me see if he's here.
Who?
Rob, are you there?
Yes. Hello.
Hi.
How's it going?
Thank you for joining me. Good.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. For those that haven't seen, obviously, She Wants Me yet, why don't we dive right in and tell us a little bit about the plot of the movie.
The plot is about a neurotic writer living in Los Angeles. He's a New York native, and he's like in a relationship with his girlfriend, Sammy. Her name is the character. And especially about, like, it's like kind of like the opposite of most romantic comedies, where it's about the guy trying to get the girl. It's now it's about the guy trying to keep a girl.
Uh-huh.
And that's basically like the simple plot of the movie. It's about like a guy, an overweight, heavyset writer who basically has the girl of his dreams, and it's basically him trying to keep her. And the obstacles that get in his way are the girl's like strapping ex-husband and numerous other things.
And he's kind of a struggle between his career and the girl as
Exactly.
And the ex-husband and the girl.
Ex-husband
gets in the way, basically.
Yeah.
Now, was this based on any elements of your own life?
What I tell people is, like, it's basically loosely based on my life. But once I started writing, it's kind of like putting my life inside of a snow globe and shaking it all up. So everything kind of turns to fiction. But I guess the overall premise is sort of based on my life. But nothing that actually happens to the characters actually happened in my life.
Got it. It's more just the character, the characters themselves that you know or that you are in a way.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because Lifelines, which I was just explaining that you were here with Lifelines, and this movie has a bit of an element of family in it, where Lifeline was more centered around the family, and both are kind of dysfunctional. Did you have a dysfunctional family? How were you inspired for these families that really crack me up?
I would say that my family wasn't perfect, but we were not as embellished as they are in movies. I definitely took a little bit of dramatic license and embellished that as much as I could for comedy effect. I guess
the grandma was so funny.
The only person that's really dysfunctional in my family is actually me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, the grandmother character was so funny. I just fell over. I was laughing about her.
Yeah,
it was really funny.
Ellen Albertine Gallick from Wedding Crashers, Wedding Singer. Yes. Yeah, she's fantastic. And she just celebrated her 99th birthday.
Wow. Wow,
yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
But how old was she when she filmed this?
I think she just, like, a little over 97 per se.
Wow. Now, you started the funding for this right after Lifelines, didn't you?
No, actually. I was probably doing another project at the time, but I didn't get into, like, a production. And I actually started about a year after Lifelines.
Okay. And this was quite a budget. What was the budget on this?
It was like not even $400,000. It was pretty low still. Whatever IMDb says, like, is not the truth. Like, they just embellish, and people could add whatever info they want to IMDb. So it was really just like about $400,000.
Okay, wow. And you got some big stars. How did you get? You got Charlie Sheen, Hilary Duff, Wayne Knight, Deborah Jo Rupp. How did you get these stars?
I was able to, like, kind of narrow their scenes down to, like, all their filming in one day.
Oh, wow.
So, we had enough budget, I guess, to hire these people for one day each. And obviously, of course, they took major budget cuts because, like, at that point, like, Josh Gad's attached, Melanie Diaz is attached, Aaron Hughes is attached, and all these, like, up-and-coming, like, comedic and strong actors. And I think, like, a lot of them, like, Hillary, per se, liked the role and liked the character and wanted to, like, work with them, especially Josh Gad as well. And then, like, Charlie Sheen was a friend of my producer's. So, like, I mean, that was, like, luck and chance.
Yeah. And Charlie also is listed as a producer as well, right?
Yeah, Charlie's an executive producer in the movie as well. He had so much fun on set, and like what he was filming, that he ended up giving us a lot of money for our post-production.
That's great.
Yeah.
But was he as crazy as he appears to be? Is he kind of crazy like a fox, or he's more down to earth than you think?
He is such a gentleman. He comes to set on time, that follows direction. Really funny, a lot of creative ideas. Like, I had a great time working with him. I mean, what people saw in the news and who he is in real life are two different people, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's always kind of that way. What you see about people is not really who they are most of the time. So I imagine that was the case. And I noticed Melanie Diaz on your film, she was also in supporting characters, and I just interviewed the director of that last week, Daniel Schechter. Do you know him?
Oh, yeah. No, not personally, but yeah. I heard the film.
And she plays two vastly different characters. I was like, is that really her? Because she looks so different in the two films. She did a great job in your film.
She's a very strong actress.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Like, she plays very different kind of roles.
Did you put out a casting for this, or was it all just people you knew?
We did do casting for it, but most of the roles ended up being people that I knew. I was always a huge fan of Melanie Diaz, and I wanted someone with a little bit of ethnic flair for that character. That's what made us go to her. Same thing for the Aaron Yu role. I was very familiar with his work, and I wanted someone with Asian very specifically. And he was just the funniest and the best of the bunch that submitted.
Did you shoot this in New York, New Jersey? Where was it all shot?
It was 95% Los Angeles, and then we did one day pick up to New York City.
Okay. Yeah, because there was a scene, I was thinking it was New York, and then there was a scene, I was like, I recognize that from L.A., and I thought, no, it can't be, it's got to be New York. But I guess I was right. It was L.A.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It has both coasts, I think, represented very nicely in it.
Yeah, because it reads like New York, so you wouldn't know unless you lived in L.A., like I did, that it was L.A. in some scenes. I was thinking that, and I thought, no, it can't be. It's got to be New York. But,
well, that's a good thing, actually, because I'm glad that it reads that way, because the actors are from New York, and they're living in L.A., so if that makes sense.
Now, are you
living
in L.A.?
What's that?
Where do you live? Where do you live?
I'm in L.A. right now, but I'm originally from, New Jersey, but since I graduated from college, many years ago, my parents moved to New York.
Okay. And you had some really interesting visuals in this. You had words going across the screen. You had pullouts with characters breaking the fourth wall. And I like the thing in the beginning with the X's kind of falling off, like they've been kind of shot and are falling off sideways. How did you think of doing it that way? And was that hard to do it that way?
About 90% of it was in the script. So it was my envision for this project from the get-go. No, they're actually very, very simple effects. I mean, they take time, whatever, but it wasn't too much work in the grand scheme of things to make it like that. And I always knew that, I wanted this romantic comedy to stand out from other romantic comedies. And I felt with the characters already being in a relationship together, as well as all those crazy visuals, go along with the character being like an erotic writer. I felt like the two of them worked together very, very well.
Mm-hmm. And what is your writing process when you sit down and you try to write something like this? Did it take you a long time to do this?
Interesting question for this project. I actually spent about 10 months writing about three different drafts of the screenplay before I actually wrote a fourth draft on it, which was completely different than the first three drafts. And the fourth draft, about 9 months writing the first three drafts, and I was kind of happy with it, but the feedback that I was getting was it's good, it's not great, it needs to be something more. I completely just threw those drafts out the window, and I basically just started on a new draft, and my new draft took me about not even 2 weeks, and that was the draft that I ended up using.
Oh.
Of course, I rewrote that draft extensively, but the initial draft of it took about 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you did a TV show in between these two, didn't you? In between
Live
Lines and this.
Like a webisode series,
about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know much
really
about that. Tell me about
that. Series. It's called Lifers.
Lifers, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So and how did you get that?
Let's start that again.
How did you get involved with that?
Kristen Ruland, like the actress who plays Sammy and She Wants Me,
mm-hmm.
that was actually her show, and she hired me as a director before I cast her in She Wants Me, and I just that's basically how that came about. Like she was actually a huge fan of Lifelines, and that's why she hired me for Lifers, like which is her show. Like very similar title,
okay.
But very different.
Yeah, I was like, wow, that's interesting.
And she became like a really great friend of mine. We're actually going to Fort Lauderdale together next month for this show.
Yeah, hopefully I can meet you when you're here. And I'm pretty sure I met you. I'm almost positive I met you when you were here in 2008. I was looking through all my pictures. I'm like, didn't I take a picture with you? I'm pretty sure
I
did, but I can't
did.
Find it. So that'll be nice that you're back. There's a lot of filmmakers back this year that have been here in previous years. So you might notice some other people that you know. In fact, Daniel's coming here too from supporting characters, but I don't know if it's the same time you are. So, where is this going? Where is She Wants Me going from here after it goes to Fort Lauderdale? Is it going to be in other festivals?
I'm using Fort Lauderdale as like a way to like promote the movie. But we actually got picked up by Lionsgate.
Great.
Who's going to be releasing it on video demand, and another company's releasing it on DVD. And then like we've already started making foreign sales of it.
Wow,
so
that's going to
be out there for sure.
That's why there's all these posters in different languages for your movie.
Yeah. No, exactly.
Like, what is this? There's one in German. There's one in French. And I thought, wow, I can't find one that's American. I was trying to do the slideshow, and I found all these crazy posters. That now I know why.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of them are
so are you a big
hit
in Germany?
Yeah. Germany, Middle East, Canada, I believe France and Italy. Like they've already like started making a lot of the sales.
That's great.
For foreign.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Are you going to do any promotion physically over in Europe?
Probably not, because it's not getting like a normal theatrical. It's going VOD.
Yeah.
So so probably not. But I did just wrap another feature. So I thought
really?
I couldn't go anyway. So I'm in post on another feature right now, too.
What's that one about?
So, yeah, hopefully, like, sorry, say it again?
What's the name of that one?
It's called Two Bedroom, One Bath. It's like a psychological thriller about, like, it's called Two Bedrooms, One Bath.
Two Bedrooms, One Bath. Okay.
It's like a psychological thriller. I'm something completely different than my first two films. We just literally finished shooting it like 2 days ago.
Excellent. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I hope to be like before that next year with that movie.
Okay. How long did it take you to edit She Wants Me?
I would say like about like maybe like a little over 2 months.
Okay. So you probably have another 2 months on this one, I'm guessing. So
yeah,
the psychological
like,
thriller.
Yeah,
so you've got a little bit.
She
so by the end of
longer.
The year. Yeah, longer? Was the budget bigger on this one?
Late January, I would say.
Was it a bigger budget?
It's actually like a little bit less than She Wants Me. It's basically about two girls in like one two-bedroom, one-bath apartment. So it was much more confined than She Wants Me and a lot less actors. So the budget was actually like about significantly less.
Okay, great. And do you have some?
And I'm just a director in that
people.
Movie. Like I wasn't really hired on to produce that one. I'm just a director.
Just the director. Okay.
Yeah, not even the writer. But yeah, it should be a really great fun film.
Great. I hope to see that one too. And then I could bring you back on, and we can talk about that one once that one's released too. Now, how did you get your start in filmmaking? What did you – tell me a little bit about your training.
Well, I grew up, like, since the age of, like, 5 years old. Like, I just was obsessed with movies. And I'd watched pretty much every single movie I possibly could from such an early age. And then from there, I grew up, like, just writing a ton. Like, in middle school, high school, I was, like, you know, really into creative writing and screenplay writing and everything to do with, like, movies and writing. And then, like, it made total sense that I went to, like, you know, film school for college.
Where did you go?
And then, like, Chapman University, which is in Southern California.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
okay.
I excelled there, won a few scholarships, and basically I wrote a ton of scripts in college. And about like a year and a half after graduating from college, that's when I was able to make Lifelines.
Great.
Which started my career.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I heard that you your first movie that you watched was Labyrinth, right?
Yes. Yep. You got it.
You're wondering why I know that. do you think you're going to do a fantasy at some point, or like would you want to do that, or is that too far away from your own life that you couldn't relate to it as far as writing something? Do you think people should stick
no,
to what they know?
I definitely 100% want to. I'm not sure if it'll be
yeah.
like puppets, like Labyrinth, but I definitely want to do like a fantasy movie for children.
Yeah. For children? Okay.
Yeah,
that's definitely a great movie.
Yeah. Hopefully it's not too far down the road.
Okay. Well, you've done a kind of a dark comedy, you've done a little lighter comedy, now you've done psychological thriller, so why not fantasy, right?
You yeah.
A little bit of everything.
Exactly. That's what I want to do, is a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm. Do you like doing more independent work, or would you rather do more mainstream work?
I would definitely rather do more mainstream work. I'm basically only doing indies now because that's what my budget and my scripts are kind of enforced. But at some point,
if somebody gave you money, you would do it.
Yeah, exactly. It's something that
okay.
I believe in.
Yeah. What would you tell directors that are just kind of getting into this? Have you learned a few things? I'm sure you have. What kind of advice would you give them?
To really find like the strongest concepts for their scripts that they possibly can, because really what sells a movie is its concept. Like if you can't tell your friend what it's about in two sentences or less, then it's probably not a strong enough concept. I guess
that's
what I'm striving for right now, is to find like really good concepts for the rest of the movie.
So
yeah.
You have to get it down to a simple tagline. That's what they always say. And you're saying two sentences.
Yep. Like a really strong log line. Because that's really what's going to sell your movie the most. And, of course, if you can put a poster image to that log line, that really helps too.
Now, a lot of times when people create a brand or a tagline, they say it's Terminator meets this. You know, it's something meets something else. Did you kind of look at it in those terms and see it like two other movies that you could combine together and say this is what it is when you kind of told people about it, or did you just create your own unique tagline and that go with that?
I do both. Depends on who I'm talking to, but like really the log line is most important. But everyone always wants to ask like what's it like in two movies or whatever. And when people ask me that question, for she wants me, I basically tell them this is obviously a very pretentious answer, but it's like any hole meets like a Larry David Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm. The Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah, so like a mixture of those two, I would
meets,
say.
Any hole.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I can see it. When you were trying to prepare for this, did you think ahead of time about how you were going to promote it, or did it come more as an afterthought? Like, how did you try to get the promotions going? Did you think way ahead for that and start promoting it right away?
No. I probably should have in retrospect, but I definitely didn't. That's always come like not naturally to me at all. I mean, that's not my strength at all with advertising and marketing. I definitely listen to the people who have opinions on that. But that's something I definitely learned from She Wants Me. It's how important it is.
Yeah, so that's kind of what you took away from this film, sounds like.
Yeah, probably more than anything else. Yeah, exactly.
What was the biggest challenge for doing the movie?
Probably just working on such a small budget for what was entailed for the movie. Like, we definitely, were struggling in post, especially. That was probably the biggest challenge. But for the most part, it was very, very, very comfortable, easy shoot.
Good. And shooting all those actors in one day must have been a really long day, I'm thinking.
Oh, yeah.
Was that like a 12-hour shoot?
Very long days on that shoot. Yeah.
I bet.
Yeah. But it was worth no one was complaining, and we got it done.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, there were some very long days.
Great. And so the psychological thriller is what you're doing now. Now you just wrapped that. Do you already have another project coming up, or are you just going to be focusing on that one?
I'm going to be focusing on that one for sure, but I definitely have two more that I have coming up as well.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. Like, I'm not sure when they're going to go off, but I'm attached as director to two of the movies right now.
Are they projects that you wrote or that somebody else wrote?
Nope. Yeah, they're both ones that I didn't write.
The ones that you didn't write, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just going to direct both of them.
It must be difficult, I would think, to sit down and write something when you're so busy. You kind of, do you find that you need to take a lot of alone time to really, you know, bang that out?
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's why I'm mostly directing right now, just because, like, I'm getting these offers in, and because ultimately, I'd probably rather direct, but obviously I still want to write my own stuff as well. But like you were saying, yeah, it takes a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, writing is very time-consuming.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And do you have a website where people can find out more about what you're up to?
It's actually under development right now. It's just like because of the new project merit, you know, it's like I have someone working on it, like as we speak, just like revamping it up. So hopefully by like
okay.
by the film festival, I'll have it all done.
Hopefully, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else that you want to add about the film or about you or any upcoming projects before we go?
I guess just hopefully all your listeners can check out She Wants Me. November 7th and 8th, I think it is. Or 8th
yeah,
and 9th, I believe.
It's actually November 8th, 10th, and 11th.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Sorry, yeah.
And,
yeah, yeah.
And then after that, it's going to be on VOD. And how do they find it again for distribution?
It'll be everywhere, like on every platform for VOD and iTunes and all over the internet.
Okay.
Yeah,
so they just
like
go
that,
like Amazon and.
Yeah, like Amazon, like Time Warner, Verizon, DirecTV, AT&T. Yeah.
Okay. And they can just find it there. And that will be available when?
It's actually available in markets now, but I'd recommend seeing it in a theater with an audience first.
Yeah, especially because it's a comedy, and there's some really laugh-out-loud moments. I really laughed during this movie. And Wayne Knight. Yeah, I haven't seen Wayne Knight since Seinfeld. What has he been doing?
I'm sure he's done other
projects, but...
Yeah, like Wayne's a very... he doesn't really need the money, so he just basically just does whatever he wants to do. we were very lucky to get him. Like we had a place for one day, and he just he worked with Josh Gad before. I think that's a sold deal.
Okay.
Like you want to work with Josh Gad?
Great.
Yeah.
You really lucked out. You got some great people in there. It's just like, well, there's Deborah Jo Rupp. You know, I wasn't expecting her there, and there she is. So it was a really good movie, and I definitely recommend people checking it out. Thank you for being on the show today, and hopefully I'll get to see you at the festival, and you're going to bring some other cast members too, aren't you?
Yep, me and Christian Ruin, who plays like the lead female role in the movie.
Great, okay.
Yep.
So I will probably see you then, and then hopefully I can bring you back on the show when your next movie comes out, and we can talk about that movie too.
Sounds great.
Okay.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, thank you, Rob.
Bye-bye. Okay, take care.
Bye. Okay, guys, that was Rob Margolis, and we had a great talk with him. And if you missed any part of that, you can go back and listen to it. Like I said, this show, along with all my other shows, will be archived, and you can listen to them anytime you want. So if you missed something he said and you're, what did he say? You can go back and you can listen to it again. And like I said, he's going to be at the Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival, and I'll tell you exactly where the movies are going to play right now. On Thursday, November 8th at 6 p.m., it will be playing at Sunrise Civic Center. On Saturday, November 10th, it will be at 2 p.m. at Cinema Paradiso in Fort Lauderdale. And on Sunday, November 11th at 7 p.m., it will be at Movieco Pompano. There's a lot of movies at Movieco Pompano this year, and there's also in Sunrise. So they've really spread out the last couple of years at the film festival. They used to only be at the Cinema Paradiso, but now they're kind of reaching out to these other corners of the world. And the opening night, instead of being one night, was kind of broken up into two this year. Instead of having the opening night movie and the gala in one night, we had the gala and the opening night films were the following night. Instead of having the gala at the Signature Grand this year, it was at Privé in Hallandale, and I was happy to go to that. And James Caan, actor James Caan, was there. Also, actress little Bailey Madison, who I think she's 12. She is adorable. She is getting an award tonight at Sunrise Civic Center for Star on the Horizon. And she is going to be given the award after her movie Cowboys and Angels tonight. Actually, it's probably going on right now. I think it's at 3 o'clock, so I forgot what time it is. They usually should have this show at 1 o'clock, and everything's gotten pushed around today. I think it's going on right now, I'll tell you, actually. Cowgirls and Angels, not Cowboys. Cowgirls and Angels at 3 o'clock, so it's right now. At the Sunrise Civic Center, she is getting her award following the movie. But there's a lot of great movies going on at the film festival. If you haven't been to the opening night, which was last night, you want to get out there and you want to see what's going on, because there's great, great movies, documentaries, local films, international films, you name it. I met the director of Deadfall today, who is an Oscar-winning director. I am going to mispronounce his name. I'll just say his first name, Stefan. I can't pronounce his last name, but great guy. He's from Austria, and he is here with his film Deadfall, which showed last night, and I believe it has some other times it's showing as well. There are people from all over the world here right now. So if you are a film buff or a filmmaker, it behooves you to get out to these events, because it's a great way to network with others, to collaborate, to meet different people. And you can find out all about the festival and all the scheduling on the FLIF website, the Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival website, which is www.fliff.com. And also, please check out my website. It is going to be very active throughout the film festival. I am going to be putting up the pictures of the opening night gala and the cruise I went on today, which is why the show was postponed. I was on the chairman's cruise, which goes up and down the Intercoastal for 2 hours, and a lot of the filmmakers were on board, so I had a chance to talk to them. And I'm going to be putting some stuff up about that also on my website. And I'll be at as many of activities as I can go to, basically, throughout the fest. So check out my website. It's www.independentstreak.ning.com. And also, please like me on Facebook. Like the Indie Streak site. It's just like the radio show here. It's INDIESTREAK, so it's a little abbreviated, Indie Streak. And I'm going to be putting up special information on the Facebook site that I don't put anywhere else, so that I have exclusive stuff just for kind of members, not really members, but people that like the Facebook page. Okay, guys, I think that about covers it today. But next week I'm interviewing director Ishai Sutton, who did The Kitchen, and he was here a couple years ago, too, with Big Bad Swim. So I'm looking forward to interviewing him. And just keep coming back every Sunday, because I have a whole list of filmmakers. In fact, some of the filmmakers I met today, I will be having them on the show in the following months after the film festival is over, because right now I'm booked up through the end of December, or I'm sorry, the end of November. So I'm looking for people starting December, and I'm already starting to book people for those slots as well. I just met Gary King, who did How to Write a Joe Sherman Song, and his wife, who's a producer, Susie, and also the actress, Christina Rose. They are here, and their movie is showing several different times, today, tomorrow, I believe, as well. And that movie is about a struggling actress I'm not going to even give you the plot for that one. That's another time, another show, because I don't want to get into all that, because it's more complicated than that. But it's a Broadway tourist. Christina sings, dances, acts. She's a triple threat in the movie. She is a great actress and great person. I'm glad I met all of them. So I will be writing about that movie as well, and I'm going to have them on the show. That was my point. I'm going to have them on the show before February when they have their release date. I think it's either January or February they're going to have the movie released. Anyway, guys, just stay tuned. The show is going to be back to 1 o'clock starting next week. Again, I just bumped it this week to 2, but normally it's 1 o'clock on Sundays. And just keep tuning in, because I'll have all kinds of information and all kinds of new people I will be interviewing every Sunday. All right, guys, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.